Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, which is Free Speech Central. And you do need to go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on the donate button and send a donation to keep the network going. Also, I have heard good news that actually lots of you are going to nationalbugle.com and you are clicking on the co-certified button and you're downloading the app. I've heard that, that we are the number one venue for people downloading the co-certified app. So I want to thank my audience for that and say keep it going. You can also get the app or use the online version, which is all free, by going to thekosherquestion.com or just go through nationalbugle.com. Today's Monday. We have Mark Collett from Great Britain, leader of the British Goyim. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It's great to be here. I'm a little bit scratchy and hoarse today, but I hope you can put up with that.
We can put up with that. And what are you scratchy and hoarse from? Did you have like a big weekend or something?
We certainly did. We had the first of the patriotic alternative conferences that I have started arranging to go in hand in hand with a patriotic weekly review.
Wow. Okay. Good attendance?
Excellent attendance. Completely sold out.
Did you do anything crazy like, run through barbed wire and swim in brooks and things like that?
No, I don't think we did, actually.
Because you do that sometimes. Right? Isn't it your madness weekends? Don't you do that kind of stuff on your madness weekends?
We do. They're called lunacy runs, though. But you don't attend them in a suit, shirt, and tie. In fact, that would be an awfully novel idea, wouldn't it? Imagine doing one of those in a suit, shirt, and tie.
You know, it's something that, like, if people knew in advance and they could bring an old suit from the Salvation Army or whatever, that would be a fun twist on it. And the lunacy runs, I know it's not all patriotic weekly review people, but you could have a patriotic weekly review team all doing the lunacy run in suits and ties.
Well, that would certainly be novel. And I'd love to get you over to the UK, but you might have to do yours in your monkey mask. We might have to have a specially made monkey mask to make it more authentic.
You don't need a mask, mate. If I just don't shave for a few days, that's what I look like. All right. Well, that sounds all interesting. Now, you're in the UK, which used to be part of the European community, the European Union, the common market. How's that all working out?
What do you mean, used to? It still is. It still is. We've been completely, although we voted to leave back in 2016, we have been completely betrayed by our parliament. We've been completely betrayed by our elected officials. And every time they give us a date that Britain absolutely, totally must leave the EU on this date, that is always blocked. It's always impeded. And it's always pushed back and back and back. And that's all happening again now.
Mm-hmm. So in the past week, I think a week ago or so, all of a sudden we hear that Boris Johnson was suspending Parliament and he got the Queen's permission to do so. But then the next thing we know, we've got the Parliament voting to prohibit him from doing a no-deal Brexit. So what are all these developments? And where do you all stand now?
Well, it's very interesting. It's very interesting because Boris Johnson has come in and he said, whatever happens, we are leaving the European Union on October the 31st. No matter what, deal or no deal, we are leaving the European Union on that date. And that sounds very good. That sounds, you know, exactly what we wanted to hear. However, there's always a sting in the tail. And the sting in the tail is that numerous members of the Conservative Party have voted against that. Some have left the party and crossed the floor and joined other parties. Some have resigned from the party and are sitting as independents in order to prevent Boris Johnson from using his majority in Parliament, his very slim majority. See, it was only one seat. It was only a one-seat majority, so it was very slim. You only needed one person to do this. And that one person has acted and ensured now that Boris Johnson does
and
not have
a majority. Hasn't his own brother left the party?
Well, I was going to go on to that. It does get worse. His own brother did this as well. His own brother resigned, left the party, and said that he was conflicted, that, you know, family loyalties or loyalty to his country. And that's a really stupid thing to say, isn't it? Because his constituency voted Leave. The nation voted Leave. The guy is a complete fool. The people in his constituency had spoken. The nation as a whole had spoken. Who is he representing? Because I can understand if somebody says, well, the nation as a whole voted to leave, but my constituency voted Remain. So I am doing what a parliamentarian should do, which is represent the people of my constituency. So I can understand that as an argument, because that's what parliamentary democracy is about. It's about representation. We don't elect people for them to go to Westminster and rule over us and tell us what to do. We elect people so that they go to Westminster and represent us in Parliament. Now, if you are being elected by Remainers, if you're being elected by people who wanted to remain in the EU, I can absolutely see why you would go to Parliament and say, I'm going to represent those people. But people like Boris Johnson's brother were elected by people who wanted to leave the EU. Yet, despite that, they are going to Parliament and trying to prevent Britain from doing exactly that. And they are claiming it's some kind of duty they have to the nation. It's not a duty they have to a nation. It's the duty that they have to the internationalists. It's the duty they have to financial backers, to big corporations. And it's absolutely shocking.
You know, I remember in 1988, in the Democratic primaries for president, in 1988, you already had this system of superdelegates, where all the members of Congress, all the Democratic members of Congress, got to go to the Democratic convention, and they all had a vote. They were called superdelegates. And there was one, Senator Ernest Hollings from South Carolina, who was a very conservative Democrat. And he had been, governor of South Carolina previously in the 60s, and was a segregationist. Well, he went to the Democratic primary, or the Democratic convention, and supported Jesse Jackson. And he was asked, why? Why do you like Jesse Jackson? He said, I don't like Jesse Jackson, but my state voted for him overwhelmingly, and I'm here to represent my state. So, you know, sometimes you do have people who take this idea of representing their constituents seriously, even if they disagree with their constituents. They're there to represent them, but apparently not with Boris Johnson's little brother. By the way, I'm just going to mention this. There are those who are calling Boris Johnson Down Syndrome Trump, and that's probably unfair to Down Syndrome people. It's probably unfair to Boris Johnson, too. But I just thought I'd throw that out there. Have you heard that meme before?
I have done. I do find it quite amusing.
And I think it has to do with his lack of a comb, or he cuts his own hair, or whatever it is.
He is an odd-looking fella. I'll certainly agree with you on that.
Okay, so now, Boris Johnson is responding to all this by saying he wants to call snap elections. And in most parliamentary systems, which ironically, most parliamentary systems around the world modeled themselves after the British Parliament, in most systems, a prime minister could just, if he wants to dissolve the parliament and hold elections, they could do that. And I think once upon a time you could do that in Britain, but not anymore. There's been some sort of reform. So doesn't he need to get the approval of parliament to dissolve it and hold elections?
Well, this is the interesting thing. He does. He does. But usually that is something that the opposition absolutely jump at. So usually when a prime minister says, you know what, I really, really want a general election, usually the opposition, especially the opposition in this case, because up until now, Jeremy Corbyn has kept saying that he wants a general election, that he's desperate for a general election. But then all of a sudden, as soon as Boris Johnson says, you know what, I really, really want a general election, let's do this, all of a sudden, Jeremy Corbyn doesn't want it. He doesn't want it because he knows he will lose. He knows that whatever happens here, this next election is going to be fought over the issue of Brexit. And if Boris Johnson does stand on a leave means leave, it is Brexit on October the 31st, if you elect me, Nigel Farage will support him. He will clear out...
Will Nigel Farage support him? Or will he contest the election with the new...
Nigel Farage will absolutely.
Okay, so the Brexit party would not contest the election if Boris Johnson's campaign is leave means leave?
I don't think they would. Wow. I think if it's leave means leave, no deal Brexit on the 31st, if you vote in, you know, the Conservative Party, I think in that case, Nigel Farage would stand his party down, tell everyone to vote for Boris to achieve Brexit. And I think if he did that, and I think if Boris essentially purged the Conservative Party of these Remainer traitors, of these people who aren't representing their constituents, I think he would end up with a sizable majority. And with that sizable majority, he would bring about Brexit. I think that's what he wants to do. However, post-Brexit, I think that's where he would most likely betray those who voted for Brexit by essentially doing everything he could against the spirit of Brexit, which was largely driven by calls for migration controls.
Wow. Okay. So here's a question. There are... well, Labour did reasonably well in the last election against Theresa May, and so they have a lot of incumbents running. And Boris Johnson, if he would need to win, the Conservatives did not get an outright majority last time and had to go into coalition. So Boris Johnson would certainly need to win, pick up a lot of seats in these seats in constituencies that currently have Labour MPs. So here's a question. In these constituencies, because I don't know about the British system, do you have basically candidates in the shadows, candidates in waiting for those parties, or do they recruit the candidates at election time?
I think in most cases, all year round, the parties pretty much know who are going to be standing, especially in marginal seats. I think I've explained this before, but it's worth going over it again, that in the UK, the balance of power is usually held within a few dozen of what are called marginal seats. And those marginal seats are the only ones that really change hands. I mean, occasionally, you get the odd sort of surprise where a seat that wouldn't usually change hands does change hands. But that doesn't happen very often. In fact, there are some constituencies in the UK that haven't changed hands, I think, for around 100 years. Now, that's a huge amount of time for one party to dominate one single constituency. And it shows how fixed much of UK politics is. But in these important seats, in these marginals, in the seats that are likely to change hands, the parties pretty much have somebody working all year round, even in non-election times, trying to get things prepped for when there is an election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you would think so, and that's how it often is. I was bringing it up because a few weeks ago, especially before Boris Johnson became prime minister, but after Theresa May had announced her resignation, and we weren't 100% sure it was going to be Boris Johnson, and, you know, when we were thinking of the possibility of early elections, well, we were also factoring in the Brexit Party, which had won very decisively the seats in the European parliamentary election, the British seats in the European parliamentary election. And so would the Brexit Party run? So I was asking this about the candidates because I was wondering if, you know, Nigel Farage, in exchange for supporting Boris Johnson in a general election, if he might seek to have, well, even himself, but Brexit, you know, people from his Brexit party run as Tories. I don't know if there's any possibility of that.
I don't think that would happen.
You don't think so?
I don't think that would happen at all. I don't think that would ever happen. I think what Nigel Farage wants to be here, I don't think he's actually looking for power himself. I think he's looking to be the kingmaker. I think he's looking to be the man that comes in and says, I will hand you the election, but I want you and I want your party to basically push this agenda so he can say that he brought about Brexit by making this deal, and then he will ever be known as the kingmaker, the man that got Boris his term. And I think that's very much what Farage would do. And also, I've said this before, Nigel Farage, he doesn't want to be embroiled in heavy politics. He doesn't want to work at constituency level. He doesn't want to be on the streets, chatting to people, doing things like that. He wants to be making speeches. He likes travelling around. He likes doing his thing, which is essentially being Nigel Farage, being a celebrity. That's what he enjoys. He enjoys writing occasional newspaper columns, doing his radio show. He doesn't want to be going and visiting his constituents and having tea and cake and having to discuss whether the privet hedges are going to be cut back at a certain time of the year. That just isn't him. But he does want to play a decisive role in Brexit and UK politics, and that would be his way of doing it.
I see. Okay. Now, you had indicated that, well, if Boris Johnson were to run a campaign of leave means leave, and then were to be elected, that he would probably pull Britain out of Brexit. But then after that, there would be problems. He would betray his voters, and, you know, would he be... I assume you mean betraying his voters in terms of immigration, which was really the issue behind Brexit. And we're coming up on the break in about 30 or 40 seconds. But that's what I want to ask you about. But also, you know, would he be betraying, you know, could a no-deal Brexit somehow get like a back deal after the fact where they... you know, kind of negotiate a deal post facto where he then betrays Britain, you know, in terms of paying a big, you know, there was a big payment that was being requested of Britain the last round of negotiations in order to leave. So that's what I want to ask you when we come back from the break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And we're back. So, Mark, what about the post-election possible betrayal by Boris Johnson?
Well, if there was a post, the first important thing to note is any deal made after Brexit is a trade deal. It wouldn't be a deal on issues such as legislation. Now, at the moment, the EU has a huge amount of say in what is law in the UK. And after Brexit, I believe any deals made would simply be trade deals. They wouldn't be deals that involved giving the EU any power or any say in the running, in the day-to-day running of Britain as we have now. And I think that's the first big issue to point out. Secondly, and this is very, very important, I believe if anybody did attempt to hand power back to the EU in any way, number one, that would be temporary and could be reversed quite easily. And number two, I think they would be in real, real, real trouble. I don't think for a minute that anybody would really stand for that. And I think if that did happen, if that did happen, there would be a significant amount of trouble. So really, that would be very unlikely. The big problem that we actually faced, and it was a sizable problem, was that if somebody had struck, as Theresa May did, a bad Brexit deal, that bad Brexit deal could have locked the UK into a series of either further negotiations or something that could technically be actually worse than our deal in the EU, which Theresa May's deal was actually worse than our deal was in the EU, which sounds insane, but she was, an absolute disaster. So ultimately, I think that's very, very unlikely. And if there was a no deal, we would immediately be placed on World Trade Organization trading terms with the EU. Now, that by no means would be a disaster. There are plenty of countries like China and Japan that trade absolutely perfectly with the EU. Switzerland, Norway, they trade with the EU. They're European countries that aren't in the EU. It's not like some magic club as they've tried to make it out. You don't have to be in the club to be able to trade. The reason they didn't want Britain to leave the EU is the EU's a distributionist bloc, and Britain had the second largest economy in the EU and was giving the second largest amount of taxes with a very, very small rebate, which meant when it came to redistributing wealth, Britain was central to that redistributionist plan. Mm. So that was the reason they didn't want us to go. And the third thing, and this is very important to stress, you can't really stress this enough. It is, and I want people to be absolutely clear on this. The status of countries like Germany and France, I said Britain was the second biggest economy in the EU. Germany's the biggest, Britain's the second, and France is the third. Now, Germany and France don't want to go down. So if Britain leaves, Germany are hardly going to stop selling BMWs, Audis and Mercedes. They're not going to stop selling luxury cars to Britain. They're not going to be like, you know what, we're going to teach those Brits a lesson. They'll not buy another BMW. Well, I think Britain is the second biggest market in Europe outside of Germany for German-made cars. So they're not going to give up their second biggest market to spite themselves, because if they did that, it would only cause them more problems. Now, if they think Britain leaving the EU will place more stress on the German economy, which it likely will, they're not going to place even further stress on the German economy by forcing Germany not to trade with Britain. That's just nonsensical. It would never happen. In fact, if Britain leaving the EU is likely to put more stress on Germany, as Germany is the central economy, the economic motor of the EU, Germany would be the first to call for good trading terms with the UK as not to create further problems for itself. So this idea that we're just going to be locked out in the cold, nobody will want to trade with us, everyone will hate us, and everyone will refuse to send us cars, produce, electronics, and all manner of other items. It's just nonsense. And anyone that believes this is either pushing this lie to scare people, or is a moron and knows nothing about what they're talking about. That's the long and short about it. You're either pushing this as a lie to scare the morons, or you're one of the remainder morons who will literally buy into anything because you're so gripped by fear. You're probably barely able to leave your house without having a panic attack.
Okay, well, we're coming up on another break, but when we get back, I want to ask you about this. What is it? The back door, the Irish border, and we'll see how that is, because that was talked about a lot earlier in the year, and how much of a factor is that going to be moving forward? We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Republic Broadcasting Network depends on listener support of our advertisers and of our sponsors. We'd like to especially thank all of you who have taken advantage of our fundraiser with FrontSight Bonus. Those who are now FrontSight members, please train as soon as possible for your sake and for that of our nation. And please consider sharing your training and what you've learned when you arrive home. Republic Broadcasting Network has to stop promoting this fundraiser on air and on the website in just a few days. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, president of FrontSight, made a gracious exception to his no media rule for us at Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, Dr. Piazza. And once you've been to FrontSight, feel free to call your favorite host and share your experience on the air. We can continue this fundraiser without media help, but it'll be totally up to the listeners to spread the information. Please call Dan Sutterfield in Missouri at 573-465-2356, 573-465-2356. That's 573-465-2356.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
And we're back, and I don't want to get too technical with all of this, but the coalition government that Theresa May had to form after not having won a majority of seats in the elections, what was it? Was that early 2017, I believe? She didn't win a majority of seats and had to enter into coalition with, what is it, the Ulster Unionist Party?
Yes.
And so they're in Northern Ireland. Their base is Northern Irish Protestants. So currently the border between Northern Ireland, which is part of the UK, and the rest of Ireland, which is part of the Republic of Ireland, well, it is it's an internal border as far as the EU is concerned. And so if trade and goods are flowing freely across EU borders, well, then that border is open. And it's just, for an American, it's just like passing between, Utah and Colorado. It's just a signpost on the road, I would suppose. The question is, if the United Kingdom leaves the European Union and obviously brings Ulster or Northern Ireland with it, then you've got the issue of, well, is the back door left open so that the Irish can go back and forth, even though that would be leaving a UK border open to the EU, and how much of a problem would that be? Or do you set up customs on that border within Ireland? And how much does that bother the Ulster Unionist Party? What's their position on it? And already Boris Johnson has lost, several, I guess a fair number of his own party members who have walked across the aisle. If he doesn't play his hand right with the Ulster Unionists, does he face a vote of no confidence? Does he completely lose his coalition? These are the questions.
Well, I think the Irish backstop issue is a very interesting one, and that was the big issue. They want to keep an open border between Southern Ireland and Northern Ireland, and that's a big thing. But that was the problem. Theresa May was very, very obsessed with this issue of the backstop, and it was something that she didn't negotiate correctly. It was something that she didn't basically work through in a workable fashion. And the backstop would have been something in her deal, which wasn't really a deal, it was more of a capitulation, that would have kept us trapped in a 99-year agreement with the EU. And of course, that wouldn't really work in any way, shape, or form, and would effectively have been worse than being in the EU. Because whereas we could vote our way out of being in the EU, there was no way to vote our way out of that 99-year agreement. The only way we could have got out of that agreement is if all parties had agreed. So all it would have needed to have taken would have been one person on the other side of the English Channel to say, I don't agree, and we would have been perpetually trapped in endless negotiations. And that was one of the things that not only sunk her EU deal and got it rejected, but it also sunk her premiership. That is why she isn't prime minister anymore, because her deal was so, so bad that everybody acknowledged it as being bad.
Mm-hmm. So, just to put it in perspective for American listeners, who probably actually don't think about the Virgin Islands very much, but, there's the U.S. Virgin Islands and the British Virgin Islands, and they're off there in the Caribbean somewhere. They're very small. But if you had some islands, or island or islands, and if, let's just say, you had an agreement that people could go freely between the British Virgin Islands and the American Virgin Islands, and because the American Virgin Islands are U.S. territories, there's no customs between the American Virgin Islands and the rest of the country. If you're going to say there's no, people can move freely from the British Virgin Islands into the American Virgin Islands, and anybody who wants to get into the United States, if they can get to the British Virgin Islands, they can go anywhere in the United States and bring anything. And so that's would be it. Ireland is, there's no Irish exit on the horizon. So Ireland, is Ireland a what do they call it, a Schoenfeld country? What do they call those, the countries that have no borders between them, completely open to
Schengen zone.
Is it a Schengen zone country, Ireland?
I don't believe Southern Ireland was a Schengen zone, or is a Schengen zone country. I'd have to look that up.
But still, it's pretty easy to get from France or Spain or wherever to Ireland, right?
The problem that would be is it would facilitate good services, migrants, potentially unwanted imports, should we say, reaching Southern Ireland, being able to cross the border into Northern Ireland without any customs, without any checks. And then once they're in Northern Ireland, they're in Great Britain. They're in the United Kingdom. And then they can pass into Great Britain. And that's the issue.
And you've seen migrants do all sorts of weird things that you wouldn't have thought of in order to get to where they were going. And I remember, a year or two ago, there was a whole bunch of migrants up at the Arctic Ocean, crossing between that little land border between Russia and Norway, a bunch of migrants from Iraq. and they had managed to get into Russia, and then from Russia to Norway. Norway's not an EU country, but Norway's got very easy passage into Sweden. And so this is what they were doing. They will take very odd, you know, if they know they can get in a certain way, they'll go that way. And if all of a sudden this is their way into Britain, if they have to go to Ireland in order to get to Britain, you'll see that. You'll see that. And you'll so then that raises a whole migrant thing. And how much does Boris Johnson really care about migrants? I mean, what is his level of devotion to Brexit? Is it just symbolic? Is it something that he sees as a political opportunity? He can be the person who brought Britain out of the EU. But, of course, what was behind all of this was the feeling that Britain is being swamped with migrants. Does he have any intention of doing anything about migrants?
He has absolutely, well, he does. He does, actually. He has lots of intentions to do lots of things about migrants, but none of them are positive from our point of view. The first thing he intends to do is grant an amnesty to all illegal migrants in the UK. He wants a amnesty on illegal immigrants, which would allow over 500,000 illegal immigrants to remain here in the UK. That's the first thing. The second thing he wants to do is to ensure that there is no upper limit on migration. He doesn't care how many people come into the UK. All he cares about, quite simply, is that he controls the people coming into the UK. So as long as he controls the people coming into the UK, he's not bothered, but he has to control them. But they can come here freely as long as they have the right paperwork. And that's very, very dangerous. Because this man has already said very specifically, very openly, that he does not want any upper limit on migration, but he wants what he calls a points-based system. Now, a points-based system is one of those things that you sort of hear conservatives and, you know, talking about regularly. And they're constantly saying, oh, well, if we had a points-based system, our country would be an absolute utopia, just like Australia. Well, Australia is flooded with migrants. You know,
it sure is.
Absolutely flooded. You know, it's not a case of Australia being some absolute utopia and we need to emulate them. You know, if our immigration system was the same as Australia's, it certainly wouldn't be helping us in the slightest. Now, that's the first and most important thing to say. And the second thing is that the Conservative Party always used to have what I saw as a rather totemic pledge. It wasn't a pledge that ever actually did anything. It was, as I say, it was totemic. And it was always that the Conservative Party pledged to get immigration numbers, net immigration, into the tens of thousands, beneath 100,000 a year. So it was much more stable. I mean, 100,000, you know, 99,999 people is still a huge number of people. So the idea that getting immigration down to the tens of thousands is, you know, going to solve all our problems, well, it wouldn't. But the fact is, it would be an improvement. And that was always a Conservative Party pledge, that we were to get things to the tens of thousands so they would be controllable. However, and this is a big however, the Conservative Party never reached that. They never kept to that pledge. They never managed to actually achieve anything like that. However, they did pledge it because they knew people wanted it, and it was this totemic, we are against mass immigration. And that's fair enough. You know, they did that to obviously win votes. They never made good on it. They said they were working on it. But Boris Johnson, he said that he wanted to remove that he was scrapping it straight away, and he would make no pledges on numbers. He wasn't going to talk numbers. He didn't want to place an upper limit on migration. That he would abolish the plan to get immigration into the tens of thousands. He wasn't bothered. And I think that is a very important thing for people to register, a very important thing for people to understand, that this guy, he's coming in as this sort of great white hope, as this guy who wants to bring about Brexit. He wants to ensure that Brexit is carried out. He's going to deliver Brexit to the people. Yet here we are, and What Brexit does he want to deliver? And that's the interesting question. What Brexit does he actually want to deliver? Well, much of Brexit was driven by people's desire to prevent further migration. Mm. You know, Brexit was driven by the idea that there were far too many immigrants coming into Britain and a desire to stop this huge amount of net migration into the country.
So I mean, Brexit was a proxy for immigration, right?
And it was massively a proxy for immigration. Not only was it a proxy for immigration, but it was almost a proxy for nationalism. People saying that they wanted Britain to remain British. They did not want Britain to carry on down this route of globalization, of mass immigration, of constant, you know, hundreds of thousands of people flooding into the country. So, and that's very important to note. For Boris to say, well, look, you can have your Brexit.
Informed, but not substance. You can have it informed, but not substance.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. You know, you can have your Brexit. We can withdraw from the EU. You can all feel like you've won, but you're certainly not going to save your country. You're not, you know, you're not going to stop mass immigration. There is no way that's going to happen. That's really his message to the people. But because he is so forceful with saying, look, you know, we will leave the European Union no matter what, I think that that will obviously win over a lot of people. It will fool a lot of people. He will parrot phrases like, you know, Australian point system, Australian point system. And every time people hear Australian point system, they immediately think, wow, you know. But the problem is, with any points-based migration system, is who's setting the points? Who's setting the parameters of that points-based system? Yeah. And if it's somebody like Boris Johnson, who's an ardent multiculturalist, that points-based system isn't going to be a harsh one. It's not going to keep people out. It'll welcome people in. And Boris is also a big fan of GDP. He's a massive fan of GDP, saying, ah, our GDP keeps going up. So, you know, we've got economic growth. We've got what we need. Britain's doing well. Now, GDP is one of the most misleading barometers of a nation's prosperity that you could possibly have. And what do I mean by that? Well, for example, you've got GDP, which is how much money is in the economy as a whole, how much money the economy has as a whole. Now, if you've got four people sat around a table and there's £100 in the middle of that table and they split it equally, there's four people around the table, there's £400 in the middle of the table, each person's got £100. Pretty simple maths, pretty basic. The table's worth 400, four people, £100 each. Now, if you bring six more people to the table, and in total, that brings another £100, there's £500 on the table. But now there's 10 people around the table. Mm-hmm. So each person only gets £50. And although GDP, i.e. the total amount in the economy, the total amount on the table, has increased, which is a huge success story, everybody sat around the table only has half as much as the four people who were originally sat at the table. So although you've grown your economy, although GDP has increased, has the individual wealth of the people sat at the table increased? No, it's got worse. What's more, there's now 10 people sat around the table, so the table's far more cramped. People are sat on top of each other. It's not as comfy. People don't have as much room to move. You know, if you try and do something at the table, you're competing for space. And all of a sudden, not only has everyone got less wealth as an individual, they've also got a poorer quality of life.
Right. So Nigeria has a bigger GDP than Ireland. So why are all the Nigerians trying to get to Ireland? If it's cause, right? I mean, it's because Nigeria's got 200 million people, so big deal. It's got a bigger GDP than Ireland with its 5 million.
This is exactly the point, Patrick. And the point is that these people like Boris Johnson, he wants to grow Britain's GDP, and he'll call it an economic miracle. He'll say we're all better off. Mass migration enriches us because it raises GDP. But this is, of course, absolute nonsense. Yeah. It doesn't make life for the average person better. The economy look better on the surface.
It makes it big, yeah.
But the big issue is also that when you have a situation like this, people like Boris Johnson, all of the numbers look good. He celebrates, but ultimately he never feels the negatives because he's not one of the people being squished. He's not one of the people being, who's got a longer drive to work. He's not one of the people who has to live, you know, in a more cramped environment. He doesn't have to put up with higher hospital or doctor's waiting lists because he gets chauffeur driven to work. He's the prime minister. He lives at number 10. He doesn't really have to travel.
Hey, he doesn't even have to cut his own hair unless he wants to. Okay, we'll be right back.
OMG! People are jumping on board to the Life Change Tea Regiment. Brew, steep, and drink for a gentle, taste-great cleanse. It's changing how they feel. See what everybody's talking about. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea aids in digestive slowdown and helps people get moving down a healthy path. We won't make claims. We'll just let you decide. Experience is much better than a commercial anyway. If you want results, log on to GetTheTea.com and purchase your Super Strength Cleansing Tea. You won't be disappointed. And if you're looking for some mind-body suggestions, go to YouTube and punch in the search bar Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now. Put power into your health now. So, GetTheTea.com, that's GetTheTea.com for Super Strength Tea. And YouTube, Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now for valuable suggestions. GetTheTea.com, the tea that makes you go.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Okay, we're back, and you mentioned Boris Johnson's proposal for an Australian-style points-based system. Here's one other issue with the points-based system. Let's just say they implement it, and let's just say they have some standards. All right, so if you're from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, well, the Indian subcontinent's probably got close to 1.5 billion people on it, and Great Britain's, what, 60 million or whatever. There are an awful lot of people on the Indian subcontinent and elsewhere who have a credential to be a doctor, right? So you say, oh, great, they've got a credential to be a doctor, or an engineer, or a lawyer, whatever. And so you start bringing in all of these people who have credentials for important positions, elite positions, who then wind up crowding out the people who should be Britain's cream of the crop. They crowd them out with credentials that probably are a bit of the cracker box, what do you call it, cracker jack box variety, that really aren't up to par. So this is another problem with the points-based system.
It certainly is, and the big issue is this affects people very, very negatively. Because when you bring people into your country who are taking these jobs, you aren't training your own people. And often, the people coming in aren't brilliant at speaking English, which presents serious problems, especially in the medical profession. But also, the people coming in will accept lower wages. So it lowers wages. It isn't as good as training your own people. And it also presents some rather large problems about communication. Now, the issue with all of this is it also affects the nations that you're taking these people from, which are sometimes some of the poorest nations in the world. I don't want to strip mine African or Indian nations in the Indian subcontinent of their most talented doctors and nurses, because those nations need them. And we need our own people to be trained, to be invested in. We need to improve our own people. So this whole strip mining of human talent doesn't do anyone any good. It doesn't do us any good. It doesn't do other nations any good. It doesn't do the people of those nations any good. It doesn't do our young people any good, because they're not getting the good jobs. They're not getting the training that they need to have worthwhile careers. And it leaves us in a myriad of problems. The only people who get anything out of this are the rich, are the people who can drive down wages, are people who can benefit from increased job competition, or people who are absolutely obsessed, like Boris Johnson is, with GDP. They're the only people that benefit. The regular folk don't benefit. And this is why the Conservative Party, and why people like Boris Johnson, are totally out of touch with the average man or woman on the street.
Right. Well, Mark, we are coming to the end of the show. I want to thank you, as always, for coming on every week. And who's on the show, Patriotic Weekly Review, this Wednesday?
We have Millennial Woes. So that is going to be a very, very good show. We'll be talking about the conference that we held in Manchester last weekend.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on. And also remember, you can find Mark on BitChute. He is probably the most important content creator on BitChute. I hope to follow him. So look for him on BitChute and look for him on the Patriotic Weekly Review and his weekly podcast on Wednesdays. It's still on YouTube, but it's not going to be on there forever, we have the feeling. Okay. Well, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. Thank you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.